Welcome to Tardi Melchanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flaminoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Gimel. Unfortunately, chapter 33 is about two evil kings from Malchut Yehuda, Menashe, son of the righteous Chizkiyahu, and Amon, Menashe's son. From the first pasuk, we learn that Menashe was 12 when he came to power. He was only born after Chizkiyahu was healed from his illness, when Hashem gave Chizkiyahu 15 more years to live. Menashe ruled for 55 years, which is longer than any other king of either Malchut Yehuda or Yisrael. From the very beginning, the nature of his kingship is made clear in verse 2. Vayas hara be'inei Hashem, ki to'evot ha-goyim asher horish Hashem mipnei b'nei Yisrael. He did what was displeasing to God, following the abhorrent practices of the nations that God had dispossessed before the Israelites. No other king's reign is assessed this way, or described in these terms. You may remember that the language was used to describe Ahaz's practice of putting his son through the fire in chapter 28, but it is only by Menashe that the statement summarizing his reign is written this way. Not only did he revert to the sins of the Canaanites, but in verse 3 we read, Vayasha vayiven et habamot, asher nitat yechizkiyahu aviv, vayakem mizbechot lebaalim, vayas asherot, vishtachu lechot zva shemayim, vayavodotam. He rebuilt the shrines that his father Chizkiyahu had demolished. He erected altars for the Baals and made asherah trees. He bowed down to all the hosts of heaven and worshipped them. He rebuilt the private shrines erected for the service of God that Chizkiyahu, his father, had smashed. And he established new altars for the Baalim, a far more egregious act. He is the first king of Malchut Yehuda to worship the stars. Verses 4 and 5 continue to delineate the awful things that Menashe did. And then in verse 6, it states how Menashe is reverting back to the ways of his grandfather, Ahaz. V'hu he'evir panav be'esh b'gei ben hinom, ve'onin, v'nichesh, v'chishef, v'asa ovi'id oni, hirba la'asot hara b'nei Hashem, le'hach iso. He also made his children pass through the fire in the valley of ben hinom, and he practiced soothsaying, divination, sorcery, and consulted ghosts and familiar spirits. He did much that was displeasing to God in order to provoke anger. Note the word lahach iso in order to provoke anger. Menashe wasn't just sinning, but he was doing it with the intention of angering God. Verse 7 brings us to a new low. Vayasem et pesel hasemel asher asa b'vayt Elohim asher amar Elohim el David v'el Shlomo b'nob b'bayit hazeh u'b'Yerushalayim asher b'charti m'kol shifte Yisrael asim et shmi le'olam. He placed a sculptured image that he made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I chose out of all the tribes of Israel, I will establish my name forever. Not only does Menashe make a graven image, but he puts it in Hashem's house. Can it get any worse? The Talmud in Sanhedrin underscores how Menashe is trying to anger God and picks up on the fact that here it mentions one idol, but in the summary of his reign, in verse 19, it mentions multiple idols and explains, Ketiv Pesel, Uktiv Psilim, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'tchila Asalo Partsuf Echad, Ulevasof Asalo Arba'a Partsufim, Kedei Shetir Eshlina V'tichos. It is written that Menashe crafted an idol, and it is written that Menashe crafted idols. Rabbi Yochanan says initially, he crafted one face for the idol, and ultimately he crafted four faces for it so that the divine presence would see it from each side and become angry. Verse 9 records how Menashe did not just sin himself, but made Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem also practice evil. And the pasuk says, La'asot ra min hagoyim asher hishmid Hashem ipnei bnei Yisrael, to do evil greater than that done by the nations that God had destroyed before the Israelites. Under his pernicious influence, their deeds were even worse than those of the Canaanites. Since this idolatrous worship was fresh and novel to them, they were more enthusiastic in their worship than those who had performed those rites for many years, and they were more devoted to the pagan idols than the Gentiles. Verse 10 points out, V'yidaber Hashem el Menashe ve'el amo ve'lo hikshivu. God spoke to Menashe and his people, but they would not pay heed. Here, we do not have the message that the prophets told Menashe, but it is clearly delineated in the parallel account in Melachim Bet. Lachein komar shem elke Yisrael, hinini mevi ra'al Yerushalayim v'yudah, asher kol shomav titzal nashtei oznav, Assuredly, thus said the Eternal, the God of Israel, I am going to bring such a disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that both ears of everyone who hears about it will ring as they do upon hearing an extreme and loud, frightening noise. Since Menasseh would not listen to what the prophets were telling him, he was punished in verses 11 to 13. Vayavei Hashem aleihem et sarei atzava asher lemelech Ashur, vayelkedu et Menasseh b'chochim, vayasruhu b'nechashtayim, vayolichuhu b'avela. So God brought against them the officers of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Menasseh captive in manacles, bound him in fetters, and led him off to Babylon. Uke hatzer lo, chila et pnei Hashem elkav, vayikana me'od milfnei elkei avasav. In his distress, he entreated the Eternal's God and humbled himself greatly for the God of his ancestors. Vayitzpalel elav, vayeater lo, vayishma tchinato, vayishiveo Yerushalayim l'malchuto, vayada Menasseh, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. He prayed to God who granted his prayer, heard his plea, and returned him to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Menasseh knew that the Eternal alone was God. Let us analyze this repentance of Menasseh's. We will start with the Jerusalem Talmud in Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Levi, Mula shel nechoshet asulo, v'natnu oto b'tocha, v'hayu masikin tachtav. Kivan shera'a shetzaratot sara, lo hiniach avodah zara ba'olam shelo izkira. Kivan shelo ha'ilo klum amar, zachor ani shayavi, ma'kreuti et ha'pasuk hazeh b'beit ha'knesset. V'tzar l'cha u'mitzocha kol d'rim e'ela b'achrida yamim. V'shaf da'ad Hashem elkecha v'shamata b'kolo. Ki kel rachum Hashem elkecha lo yarpacha v'lo yashchitcha v'lo yishkacha b'rita v'techa asher nishpa lehem. Harei ani koreoto, im oneoti mutav. V'im lav, hacho af yashavin. Rabbi Levi said they made a copper cauldron for him, put him inside and started heating it up from below. When Menasseh realized that he was in real trouble, he did not forget any strange worship, but appealed to it. Since this did not help him any, he said, I remember that my father let me read the following verse in the synagogue. When you are in straits and all these things will find you in the future, then return to the Eternal your God and listen to his voice. For the Eternal your God is a merciful power. He will not let you slacken. He will not destroy you, nor will he forget the covenants of your forefathers, which he concluded with them. I shall call to him. If he hears me, good. Otherwise, all faces are the same. Then Menasseh humbled himself greatly, and the Yerushalmi continues to explain that the ministering angel stopped up all the openings so that Menasseh's prayer could not come before Hashem. They said, would you accept penitence from a man who put an image in the sanctuary? Hashem answered, if he does not accept his tshuva, then Hashem is shutting the door to all other penitents. So Menasseh's plea was granted. But there's something unique about the acceptance of his repentance. The Yerushalmi continues, what did the Holy One, blessed be he, do for him? He dug out a tunnel under his seat of glory and accepted his supplication. According to the strict rule of justice, Menasseh's repentance could not be accepted, so God dug him a hole for the mercy to come through. But note that the Pasuk then records the words, Vayeshiveu Yerushalayim l'malchuto. Menasseh was returned to his kingship only. There is a machloket, disagreement, between the rabbis concerning the quality of Menasseh's tshuva. Let us look at Sanhedrin in the Babylonian Talmud. Shlosha melechim ein lehem chelek l'olam haba. Shlosha melechim Yeravam, Achav, u'Menasseh. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Menasseh yesh lo chelek l'olam haba. Shene emar, v'yitzpalel ala, v'yishma tchinato, v'yishiveo Yerushalayim l'malchuto. Amru lo, l'malchuto heshivo, lo l'chayeya olam haba heshivo. Three prominent kings have no share in the world to come. The three kings are Yeravam, son of Nevat, and Achav, both of whom were kings of Israel, and Menasseh, king of Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Menasseh has a share in the world to come. As it stated concerning Menasseh, and he prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, and heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem unto his kingdom, indicating that he repented wholeheartedly and effectively. The rabbi said to Rabbi Yehuda, he regretted his actions, and his repentance was affected to the extent that God restored him to his kingdom, but God did not restore him to his share in the life of the world to come. When a person sins and by his sin causes others to transgress, then he cannot hope for Hashem's forgiveness as long as those whom he influenced are still carrying on the evil ways which he implanted in them. So as a person, Menasseh lost his portion in the world to come, but his tshuva was enough to restore him to his kingship, and we will soon see what he did once he was restored. It is worth noting that these three psukim about Menashe's repentance are not found in the parallel account in Melachim Bet. When Yirmiyahu wrote Kings 2, idol worship was still rampant, and the results of Menashe's evil were still influencing the Jewish people. So for Yirmiyahu, Menashe's repentance literally did not exist. By the time Ezra wrote Divrei Hayamim, idol worship had become a thing of the past, and Menashe's evil influence had no more practical effect. How are we, in our generation, to think of Menashe? We may find guidance in another section of the Talmud in Sanhedrin that relates that at the end of Shir one day, Rav Ashi announced to his students that tomorrow we will learn about our friend, air quotes, Menashe, in a derogatory tone. At this point, Rav Ashi, based on his learning, had nothing but disdain for Menashe. Menashe then appeared to Rav Ashi in a dream and scolded him for degrading him. Menashe demonstrated his spiritual prowess by teaching Rav Ashi a halacha the great redactor of the Talmud did not know. Rav Ashi in turn asked Menashe that given his advanced spiritual level, why he engaged in such egregious violations of the Torah. Menashe famously responded, "Had you lived in my era, you would have engaged in even worse behavior." Rav Ashi, clearly shaken by this experience, changed his tune and began his shiur about Menashe the next day. Let us learn about the great ones who failed. We did not live at that time, and while we may be tempted to try to understand how a son of the great Chizkiyahu can do what he did, we are not really in a position to do so. So now, in verses 14 to 16, Menashe tries to turn things around. He begins by building fortifications for Jerusalem. Then he removed all the vestiges of idol worship which he had introduced and threw them out of the city of Jerusalem. He built the altar of the Lord and slaughtered upon it peace offerings and thanks offerings and commanded Judah to worship the Lord, God of Israel. He repented from his former behavior and instructed others to do the same. One of the four people, according to the Gemara in Brachot, who have to offer thanks to God is someone who has been freed from captivity. So it makes sense that Menashe brought a thanksgiving offering. But even after the king returned to God, the people continued to slaughter at the private shrines, albeit to the Lord their God. Menashe lacked the power to restore the service of God to the only legitimate center of worship in Jerusalem, as his father, Chizkiyahu, had successfully done. Verses 18 to 20 bring the story of Menashe to its conclusion. Take note of his burial. Vayishkav Menashe im avotav, vayikbru beito. Vimloch amon beno tachtav. Menashe rested with his ancestors and was buried on his palace grounds. His son Amon succeeded him as king. Since Menashe was held in lesser regard toward the end of his days, he was not buried in the tombs of the kings. The last five verses of the chapter are about Amon, Menashe's son. Vayas hara b'nei Hashem kasher asa Menashe aviv. Ulechol psilim asher asa Menashe aviv zibach Amon vayavdem. He did what was displeasing to God as his father Menashe had done. Amon sacrificed to all the idols that his father Menashe had made and worshipped them. Menashe was a penitent for the final 33 years of his life. And accordingly, Amon was born to an ostensibly righteous father. But when we read about his behavior in verse 22, we see that Menashe's tshuva did not really penetrate beneath the surface. Although he did not live a long life, Amon's sins were even more severe than those of his father. We mentioned earlier that Menashe had cast all the idols out of the city. This verse suggests that Amon recovered them and served the exact same idols as his father did. V'lo nichna milifnei Hashem ki kina Menashe aviv, ki hu Amon harbei oshma. He did not humble himself before God, as his father Menashe had humbled himself. Instead, Amon did more evil. The Gemara explores what doing more evil means. One of the possibilities was that he burned the Torah. The last two psukim of our chapter, the last about Amon, inform us that he was assassinated by a group of plotters from among his servants, who are then killed by the people of the land. The people then proclaim Yoshiyahu, his son, as king. His burial isn't even listed here. But from the parallel account in Melachim Bet, we know that he was buried in his grave in the garden of Uzzah, where his father, Menashe, was buried. We end our chapter with a question. Will the young Yoshiyahu simply follow in his father's footsteps, the only model he has known? Or will he rise above his upbringing and restore Judah to the proper path? This shiur is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudi Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.